Right, time for us to move on to Car Talk, and it's always a pleasure to welcome our motoring journalist, Chira de Siena from cars.co.za. Great to have you with us, Chira. Welcome.
Hi, Pepe. Thank you.
Just a reminder to listeners, if you've got a question about a car purchase or a comparison between vehicles, etc., you're very welcome to call in on 021-446-0567. You can send an SMS to 31567 or tweet us at Cape Talk. And I'm also very happy to take your question by email to pippah@capetalk.co.za. The only thing we ask you not to ask about is how much should I be paying for this car? We don't do valuation questions. For that, there is a very handy valuation tool on the cars.co.za website, which we'd recommend you use. Everything else is fair game, though, so get dialing now. And in the meantime, we'll catch up on a bit of motoring news. Chira, it's a consumer award season.
It is indeed. It's a huge program for us. We pretty much work on it all year round. The ceremony is in usually the last week of January. It'll be February this year, 2020, sorry. Okay. Judging begins in September. And then last week, we had our big testing days where we have all 59 finalists on site, which I must be honest, is quite a logistical challenge.
Yeah.
And then we have all 20 judges as well of our judges, including the cars.co.za internal team and the guest judges. We have, for instance, Claire Moise on board from Carte Blanche, which is great. Dustin Tetia from ENCA. Couple of sort of more influencer type judges as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically to give a very representative a broad swathe of South African society and test these cars thoroughly.
Okay, when you say test them, what are you looking for? Are you looking at fuel consumption? Are you looking at sort of overall performance, comfort inside the car? What else are you looking at?
So to sort of put you in the location, if I can describe it as best I can, Gerotech is under the old government, it was a military vehicle testing and facility. And interestingly, they actually used to keep some nukes there. It's got quite an interesting history, this place. And it's sort of hidden away in the hills just sort of southwest of Pretoria. And it is an incredible place to really put cars through their paces. It was designed to sort of make and break military vehicles, and manufacturers from all over the world fly their new models in from America, from Europe, to test at Gerotech, actually.
Wow.
It's an extremely comprehensive place. And when we're there, we have to follow a very strict set of rules because there's cars running around in camouflage and cars that we don't get on our roads and secret models that are only going on sale in 2-3 years time. It's a really interesting place. And essentially, the beauty of the way we structure the testing is that the cars in the category are all there and you drive them back to back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is super important because a lot of motoring journalists, you'll maybe drive. So, for instance, I was in the compact family category. You maybe drive the T-Cross. I drive it last week, but the last time I drove the Renault Duster was last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, sort of memories fade and get a little bit blurry. So over the course of the day, there's a wet handling track, dry handling track. There's a very thorough suspension test that sort of shakes the car to pieces. And you can really test how well a car is built over something like that. There's a brake testing, slalom testing, skid pan testing, and then a very dynamic mountain handling course, which tries to sort of throw the car off balance, which runs through the hills of Gerotech. And you can also test sort of incline and how the car pulls off from a hill and that sort of thing. So very, very thorough. It takes about 40 to 50 minutes per car. And then there's also practicality tests. You know, for instance, we've got prams on site and surfboards, and you load up each car and see how they swallow all your stuff. So we really do put these cars through their paces, and I think it gives us an extremely accurate result at the end of the day.
Okay, so it's really rigorous stuff. Well, thanks for giving us that sort of background info. Now, there's 13 different categories, as well as then the overall brand of the year. That's all going to be announced, as you said, in February next year. We can't go through all of them. I will direct you to the website carsawards.co.za if you are interested in viewing the full list. But Chira, I thought, seeing as you had driven the family, the compact family category, let's take advantage of that fact that it is all recent in your mind, because it is a category that crops up regularly in our listener questions. Tell us what you drove and what you thought of them.
Yeah, important category this. The market is swinging towards SUVs, and I think also the market is people are buying down and looking for the same sort of big car features and comfort that they might have spent 500,000-700,000 rand on at a more sort of palatable price. So all three of these cars come in under 400,000 rand. They are the Suzuki Vitara, the top spec turbo auto, the T-Cross, also the top spec R-Line, and the Renault Duster, I think the middle spec Prestige. The most expensive is actually the Suzuki, 399 versus 382 for the Volkswagen, and 340 for the Duster. And I suppose I should start with the Duster, because at that price, I actually find that car to be particularly good value. I thought it was going to be this sort of lumbering, you know, sort of wobbly old thing, because that was the last time I drove a Duster, but it's been significantly updated since then. And I actually found it to be the most impressive of the bunch. And there's a lot of hype around T-Cross at the moment and selling really well. And I've always quite liked the Vitara. I've always thought that was actually a very good buy too. And you can get into a Vitara for a lot less. This is the very, very top spec price. Mm-hmm. But for 340,000, the Duster just seems to make a lot of sense. And also, it's one of the only cars, you do get an all-wheel drive Vitara, but the Duster has better ground clearance and sort of a more intelligent all-wheel drive system. So it's also one of those cars where if you're looking for a more serious 4x4, it's a decent place to be shopping. So if you're looking at any of those three cars, or if you're currently maybe looking to upgrade, the T-Cross, I think, is probably the most sort of city orientated car, if that makes sense. It's the most sort of urban orientated car. But actually, it's fairly compact. It's based on the Polo. And to be honest, the boot is not much bigger than a Polo. You know, if you're buying into the segment, you're probably looking for a bit more space. But it's actually a very compact car. The Duster, by comparison, dwarfs the T-Cross. So if you are looking for some sort of interior practicality and looking to load up, you know, sports equipment or whatever it is, then the Duster beats the T-Cross hands down. The Vitara is a similar size to the Duster as well, so you've got that practicality there. But where the Duster also really shines is a very, very efficient diesel engine. So it's the only diesel here. And if you are looking to save money on a day-to-day basis, you know, running costs and filling up at the pumps, then the Duster, I think, also takes that win too.
Okay, thanks for some very comprehensive feedback there, Chiro. So keep in mind the Renault Duster at 340,000 Rand, Chiro's pick of the best value for money in the compact family category. And again, if you want to check out the full list of the finalists for the cars.co.za Consumer Awards, it's on carsawards.co.za. Right, we've got a couple of voice notes that have come through for Chiro, as well as several SMSs. A reminder, you're also welcome to call in on 021-446-0567. Let's start with a voice note.
Afternoon, Pippa. I would just like to find out what your thoughts are on the Suzuki Jimny. I've been doing some research on it, and it seems like a lot of people are rating it. So I just want to see if your guest thinks it's good value for money.
Chiro, you've mentioned the Jimny before. Just remind us what you think of it.
We get asked about it quite a lot. Very popular little car. The previous generation was on sale for something close to 15, 20 years, something around that mark before they upgraded it. The upgrade came along and immediately sold out. And I actually, the last time I checked, you couldn't actually buy a Jimny in South Africa. Gosh. There just weren't any. So, which is a bit of an issue. I was told November they would be available, and we are in November. So perhaps it's worth calling a Suzuki dealership now and seeing if they've got some stock. But the waiting list last time I checked was 18 months. And I checked in about June this year. Yeah, so it's a tricky one, because it's hard to recommend a car that you can't buy. That being said, if you can find one, it's an exceptional little off-roader. It really is able to keep up with the best of the bunch when you're hitting the rough stuff. The sort of downside of that is, because it's so focused on being great off-road, it's actually quite compromised on-road, and it's not particularly good, for instance, on the highway. Mm-hmm. 120 k's an hour in the Jimny will sort of have you checking your life insurance. So it's not that bad, but it's not the sort of car that I would be perhaps happy living with on a day-to-day basis if I had a long highway drive as part of my commute. Okay. Around the city, 60, 80 k's an hour, totally fine. But it just doesn't seem to handle high speed well. The suspension is very, very soft on that car. But if you are looking for a serious off-roader and you like the looks and you definitely want a low-range gearbox in your car, then the Jimny does make quite a lot of sense.
Okay, thanks for the feedback. WhatsApp asking how EVs are performing, electric vehicles, in the awards and which options, etc., are available in South Africa. Before I ask about the awards, let me just direct that person to the 16th of October. We did a full segment on the electric vehicle category. We looked at everything that's on the market in South Africa, everything that's coming soon. So if you missed that, please go and look for the podcast, which has been shared on the Cape Talk website. You need to just scroll back to the 16th of October and you'll find a really comprehensive look at the electric vehicles. Are they a category in the Cars Awards yet, Chiro?
Unfortunately not. We consider it every single year, but at the moment there aren't even enough cars to make up a category, which is really sad.
Yeah.
But that situation is changing next year, and I'm 99% confident that there'll be an electric car category in our 2021 Cars Awards. Next year, the highly anticipated Volkswagen ID.3 should arrive. Nissan Leaf, maybe. It was revealed in 2017, and hopefully it gets here next year. There are whispers of it arriving, just not confirmed as yet. Mercedes is bringing a large, expensive EV called the EQC. Audi's e-tron will go on sale. The I-Pace will remain on sale. The BMW i3 will remain on sale. So that gives us, I've lost count, six options to choose from.
Six, seven, in fact. So you've got enough to make up a category. Yeah. Okay.
So then we can properly have a proper category there and some excellent vehicles. A little bit difficult to judge because the Audi, the Merc, and the Jag are all north of, or likely be north of 1.7 million. Whereas cars like the i3, the Leaf, and the ID.3 are probably going to be south of 700,000. So huge price difference between those cars. However, I think we'll be able to create a category which sort of rewards the cars on their merits and not necessarily the price. And I'm hugely looking forward to that. I really am.
Okay, thanks for the update then. Right, another voice note. Let's take a listen to that.
Hi, Chiro and Papa. I currently drive an X-Trail, but I'd like to get something a bit smaller that's still safe and has a little bit of space because I have two kids, so a decent-ish sized boot would be good. I just want a smaller car. I'm looking to pay up to $150,000 and preferably buy second hand. Have you got any advice?
Okay. Papa, did the listener say 250 or 150,000?
I thought it was 150,000.
150. Yeah. A little bit difficult to shop for an SUV in that price range because you are going to have to go for something that's a little bit older, probably around the 4-year mark, I would say, which means that you're going to have very little warranty left. Unfortunately, yeah. That being said, it's not a terrible place. It's not a terrible end of the market to shop because I would just look for cars which have sort of less to go wrong. So, for instance, I try to stay away from turbocharged engines. There's just potential there for a very big expense to come up. Manual gearboxes as well can help instead of, say, CVT. CVT gearboxes require the bands to be changed at about the 6-7 year mark, which can get very expensive too. Smaller than an X-Trail is actually pretty much the category that we've just been discussing. So sort of the Vitara Duster type category.
Yeah.
You will be able to get into a fairly old Duster at that price. I don't know if that would be my first choice as a second-hand car. If it was me, I might look at something along the lines of a Honda, Honda, Toyota, Suzuki, probably something from the Japanese brands. The Korean brands too, also not a bad option to go for. It might be possible to get a sort of 3-4-year-old Hyundai Creta at that price as well. So a couple of options there to choose from. And like I say, I think go for the most sort of straightforward drivetrain and cars where you know, they have a sort of proven reliability record. Another car which comes up often on the show, actually, that's possibly worth looking at is the Daihatsu Terios. That's also a great little 4x4 and great reputation for reliability as well.
Okay, thanks for the advice and good luck to the purchaser. Right, this person did ask this question last week and they have already asked it again, so let me make sure we get it in this time. They really want to get a Ford Bantam Bucky, but don't see many on the roads. The question is, are they still available?
They're not. It's a pity. You know, that half-ton market was a very popular segment in South Africa for a very long time, and then it just kind of disappeared. You know, people still have run their Opel Corsa Buckies and still rave about them. One of my crewmen actually has one, and that thing just never seems to die. There was a Fiat on stage at one, on sale at one stage in that market. The Ford Bantam was very, very popular. The Opel then became the Chevy Utility, and Nissan still sells the MP200. But unfortunately, you aren't going to get a new Ford. You're going to have to find one on Gumtree or Cars@Co.za or Auto Trader, unfortunately. That being said, if you want a new half tonner, your options are limited to the Nissan MP200 and the Chevy Utility. And I must be honest, I stand to be corrected on the Chev. I'm actually not sure. No, sorry, let me correct myself. Chev is not in the country anymore.
Okay, so it's the Nissan or nothing else.
You won't be able to buy one. So, yeah, there we go. So that's it. That leaves you with the Nissan if you want a brand new half-tonner.
Okay, thanks so much for the feedback. On the SMS line, somebody asking when the Golf 8 is going to arrive in South Africa.
We've been told final quarter of 2020, and the release order of the models will be GTI first, because funnily enough, the GTI is the best-selling Golf in South Africa. Okay. Of any of the variants. So that'll go on sale first, followed by a more sort of standard 1.4 litre, followed by a R variant, the high performance variant. And that looks like pretty much the Golf lineup. It's quite interesting. Golf is increasingly less of a popular option among South African motorists. It's one of those cars that is a victim of the market trend towards SUVs, people hopping into cars like the Tiguan and the T-Cross instead of the Golf. And so choice will become limited. There will be some really fancy hybrid Golfs on sale in Europe, which I doubt we'll get in this country, unfortunately. And if you are willing to wait, then that's when it'll arrive. It's probably about a year away from now.
Okay, thanks for the update. I think we can squeeze in one last question before we need to wrap up. And that comes from, it's anonymous on the WhatsApp line, saying, I'm in the market for a car and I've come across a secondhand 2006 1.6 Ford Focus with under 200,000 on the clock. Are there any problems I should be aware of that drivers experienced with this vehicle? It's a long way back, not sure, but...
Sure. Yeah. I don't have any specific issues. It's worth doing a little bit of research. There are some very good forums in the UK where the Ford Focus sold extremely well in the UK, one of the best-selling cars ever in British history, actually. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of forums dedicated to upkeep of those cars and maintenance of those cars. And that's kind of where I'd start, is sort of trawling through those forums. You know, there will be sections on those forums for sort of common issues and complaints. It's always a great idea to, if you're looking at any car, actually, to try and find owners' forums on that car. It's something I do quite regularly.
Okay.
And it's a great way to research a car and see what sort of problems that real-world drivers, real-world motorists are experiencing with their cars. It's an old car. It's fairly high mileage. It's just going to really be about finding a mechanic that you trust that can help you maintain the car. And you will be able to find the service schedule you should be able to source it from Ford, from their service department. They should be able to furnish you with a service schedule. So then you know what's coming up, when the bolts have to be replaced, timing chain, that sort of thing. That's quite important to know sort of what you're in for. And also just check parts availability. I suspect on a Focus, there will be a fair amount of generic parts available, which should bring costs of replacement parts down, but you will probably still have to find specific items from Ford which could become pricey.
Chira, thank you so much for that very valuable feedback, and thanks for being with us today. We'll chat again next week.
Such a pleasure. Thank you.
Chira de Siena of Cars.co.za. Check out their website and don't forget the YouTube channel if you'd like to look at some of the videos comparing different models as well.